Welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. My name is Craig Crash Collins, and we are locked in for another episode of the Crash Course Podcast, and we're going to discuss some football. And don't worry, I know it's been, you know, a tough couple of weeks. I mean, we're not going to talk about the Colts, who are 0-1-1. We're not going to talk about Purdue, who is 1-2 after a tough loss at Syracuse. We're not going to talk about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who are 1-2 on the season after some shocking losses early in the year and struggling to get past Cal. We're not going to talk about Ball State, who's 1-2. We could talk about IU, who's 3-0, but, you know, congratulations to IU. I don't think we could have seen them starting out quite this impressive, even though it is again. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, yes, you can say, well, yeah, it's against, you know, Illinois, Western Kentucky, and Idaho, but at the same time, like, it's a team that went 2-10 last year, so like, we're splitting hairs here on like how excited we should be about a 3-0 start. And hey, best team in the state right now as far as college football goes. But we're going to talk high school football. I know that high school football and us, you know, kind of introducing that into the foray here on our content on 3C Media has been pretty well received. And, you know, it's been a fun year so far for Indiana high school football. I mean, you know, I just want to say I did have Brownsburg as my dark horse team. You know, they start out 5-0 on the year. You have Hamilton Southeastern, who's been playing insane. Cathedral is doing well. Center Grove has held their own. They're 4-1. They're showing why they're the two-time defending state champs in 6A. New Palestine off to a 5-0 start. The Dragons showing 4A what's up. You've got Ben Davis at 3-2. They're ranked number 6 in the state. Number 7 is Westfield at 3-2. Roncalli's 5-0. Fishers is 3-2, but some tough losses, but they've played great all year. Zionsville holding their own in 6A as well. We thought they might struggle a bit. They're doing well with T.Y. Hilton's son and company. Lawrence Central, they're 3-2, but you know, they've won 3 straight after, you know, a tough start to the year. Carmel's doing well. So, I mean, after they had a rough start to the year. So it's been a fun year so far for Indiana high school football. And so what I thought would be a unique, fun, new kind of exercise here is what if we did an all 3C Media team through the first half. So the plan will be we do the all 3C Media team through the first half of the year. We come back at the end of the year, or at the end of the regular season, to do the all 3C Media team, see what's changed, see who's still sitting atop the list there, and then do one after the state finals. So the podcast after the state finals, or maybe it'll be just kind of a one-off YouTube video kind of thing that's not a podcast. We'll see. We'll figure things out. But the question will be, who will stay on the all 3C Media team through the course of the year, and who will, you know, kind of find their way off, who will find their way on. It'll be kind of an interesting exercise to see who has remained one of the top players in the state throughout the course of the year. And so that's the exercise that we want to do today. So it's the all 3C Media team through the first 5 games. So through the first half of the year, as you can see, is the banner up above my head, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, says, and what we're going to do is we're going to start with offense. We're going to have a quarterback, running back, 2 wide receivers, a tight end, and we're going to do offensive line as a unit. So instead of getting into each individual line core, we're just going to have an offensive line unit. Then we're going to have defensive line on defense. We're going to have defensive line, linebacker, corner, and safety. And then we're going to have special teams. We're going to have a kicker and a return man. So that's going to compose our 3C Media team. And let's go ahead and hop right into the action here. And what was tough about making the all 3C Media team is the fact that, like, you have to kind of juggle, you know, how important are stats? How important is the team? How well they've done overall? How important is the strength of, you know, the type of opponents they've played? Because, I mean, if we did solely based on stats, then I think it's going to be a boring show because I'm just going to be reading you this the list of who's the leading each statistical category, the passing yards leader, the rushing yards leader. I'm just going to be reading you off Max Prep stat sheet. So we try to kind of factor all three together. How well is the team doing overall? What are the statistics compared to the other players at that position, as well as the level of competition that they're playing? Because I, while, I am a firm believer that, you still have to go out and do it no matter how tough the competition is, I still know there's going to be people down in the comment section that are like, what do you mean? You have a 2A quarterback or you have a, 1A wide receiver? They play 1A teams. It's like, yes, I understand that, but they're still playing unbelievably well, and they deserve a shout out. So that's kind of the judging criteria that we have put in place. And speaking of the comment section, comment down below if you think that, there was an oversight, if you agree, if you disagree, who do you think I missed? Who do you think I should have had on this list? So let's go ahead and kick things off here, no pun intended, with the quarterback position. And at quarterback, I've got Lutheran quarterback Jackson Willis, the sophomore. On the season, he's 82 for 115. He's thrown for 600 or 1639 yards, 21 touchdowns, just two interceptions. He averages 328 yards per game, which is second in the state amongst those with over 100 or over 1,000 yards. He's completed 71% of his passes. He leads the state in passing yards. He's the only quarterback in the state with over 20 touchdowns. He's the only quarterback over 20 touchdowns in the league. Now, granted, I'm going off of Max Prep, so there's a chance, there's a small chance there's a quarterback that has more passing touchdowns, but they haven't logged it in Max Prep, so I can't go off of things that I don't know. So as for basic going off the information that I have, he's thrown the most passing touchdowns in the state, and he's the only one over 20 plus touchdowns. He has 148 pass rating through four games. That's when I initially went through it. No, sorry, he. It's through all five games. I just didn't correct that part of the outline. He's got 146 passer rating through five games. He's got three games of 300 plus yards, a 417 yard game in a win over Triton Central earlier this year. He's thrown for 385 yards, six touchdowns, and a win over Cascade this past Friday. I mean, the dude has just put up numbers. He's a sophomore. I mean, we wondered, excuse me, we wondered in our in our 1A preview. How is Lutheran going to bounce back? Because they have, they had that fantastic run to the state finals. They win the state finals for 1A a year ago. How are they going to bounce back? How are they going to keep that momentum going after, losing, all the talent that they lost? Because yes, they always bring in talent, but they lost some significant players off that championship roster. How would they respond? And they've responded just like you'd expect a team like Lutheran to respond. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where at the end of the year, I feel like I'm going to feel kind of dumb for not, having them penciled in as my 1A pick to win the state championship. I mean, Jackson Willis leads an offense that is the best in the state in terms of points per game, 53 points per game. I mean, Jackson Willis leads an offense that is averaging 53 points per game. I mean, it is absolutely nuts what they've been doing. Because, I mean, again, like I said, you could say, oh, they're a 1A school. Well, yeah, at the same time, though, not every 1A school is dropping 50 on their opponent every week. So, I mean, Lutheran's 5-0. They're ranked number one in 1A, and they're looking like they're going to be another tough outcome tournament time. So, Jackson Willis is my quarterback for the All 3C Media team through 5 weeks. Looking at the running back position now, we move on to them. I'm going to go with the week one 3C Media Offensive Player of the Week, and that is Roncalli running back Luke Hansen, the senior. He's carried the ball 134 times for 1,319 yards, 16 touchdowns. He's first in the state in rushing yards, third in the state in terms of scoring with 17 touchdowns. He's got a receiving touchdown as well. He's averaged 264 yards per game, roughly 8 yards per carry. He's got two 300 plus yard games, four 200 plus yard games. His lowest output of the season was 182 yards versus Franklin Central. He was the week one 3C Media Player of the Week, like I mentioned. And I mean, dude has just put on an absolute clinic. He's just been running rampant all through the state this year. And I mean, I will say this one was a toss up because right behind him, and a guy who makes a great case to be on this list as well, is Lamarion Nelson out of Fort Wayne Wayne, because he's now a two-time 3C Media Player of the Week for his performance this past week against Fort Wayne Southside, where he ran for 427 yards and 7 touchdowns. But how I kind of in my head justified, you know, kind of all of this is the fact that you put in that incredible performance by Lamarion Nelson, who, by the way, also has been number one on SportsCenter's top plays this year. You put in that performance, and he still doesn't equal the output that Luke Hansen has. And I think Luke Hansen has been far more consistent for Ron Colley. I mean, you have some great efforts, no doubt, from Lamarion Nelson, and I waffled between the two. But Ron Colley's been better, and Luke Hansen's been more consistent. So I think we're going to go with him. You know, the Royals are number two in 4A. They are 5-0 on the season, taking on Brebeuf this Friday. They're a top 10 team in the state, and Luke Hansen's a big reason why. So that's why I got to go with Luke Hansen as the running back here on the All-3C Media team for the first half. I mean, dude has just been putting up fantastic game after fantastic game. And not to say that Nelson has not. Like I said, great case for Lamarion Nelson, but I got to go with Luke Hansen here. We get two wide receivers. And let me tell you, wide receivers tough because you've got a lot of good ones here at the top. I mean, looking at the receiving yardage for the state, you know, I'm going through it here. You've got Terrell Caldwell. That's leading it with 754 yards. Brad Schultz right behind him for Triton Central, 751 yards. Terrell Caldwell for Calumet, by the way. You've got Columbus North's own Cooper Horn with 722 yards. He's in third. Micah McKay at 640. I mean, you've got a lot of guys. I mean, Caldwell has over 11 has over 10 touchdowns. He's got 11 on the year. Schultz and Horn both have 9. McKay has 7. You've got Fuddy Kyle from Maconaqua. He has 7 touchdowns on the year. There's a lot of great receivers. Noah Coy out of Center Grove. He was a tough, tough to leave off this list. I'll go ahead and give you a spoiler. He's not on the list as far as wide receivers go. But I mean, there's a lot of great wide receivers in the state, a lot of great guys who put up numbers. On the list for me, I've got at my wide receiver number one for the state, I've got Calumet wide receiver Terrell Caldwell. He's the junior. He has on the year 28 catches, 754 yards, and 11 touchdowns. His 754 receiving yards does lead the state, as I mentioned. His 11 receiving touchdowns leads the state. His 151 yards per game leads the state. Dude has just been abusing secondaries this season. There are five receivers in the top 50 who are averaging 25-plus yards per catch. Caldwell is one of them. He was our 3C Media Player of the Week for Week 2. That was a week where he had 10 catches for 307 yards, 4 touchdowns versus Gary Westside. He has 4 multi-touchdown games this season. He's got 3 games of 100-plus yards receiving. So, you know, dude has just been absolutely beating the pants off of secondaries this year. And that's why I had to put him in as wide receiver one. I mean, between him and Brad Schultz, I think he had about the same number. I think he had technically more 300-yard games, but Caldwell had more multi-touchdown games. And that ultimately was why I gave the edge to Caldwell. Because he was almost as efficient as Schultz with more touchdowns. And I think that's why he gets the edge there. I mean, Calumet is a top 10 team in the state in terms of points per game, 48. He's 5-0, or they're 5-0 on the season with an average margin of victory that is almost top 10 in the state as well, or is also top 10 in the state as well, 38. So, I mean, their offense has been incredible. Their defense is going to be incredible. More on that later. It's just been an insane season for Calumet this season. Wide receiver two. And again, like I said, I waffled with a lot of guys here. I wanted to go with Noah Coy out of Center Grove. I wanted to go with Brad Schultz, but I really didn't want to go just the top two wide receivers. That seemed boring to me. We're going to go with Lutheran wide receiver, a senior, Micah McKay. 32 catches, 640 yards, 7 touchdowns on the season. He's third in the state in receiving yards. I think now he's fourth now that all the stats have been logged and everything. He's one of four receivers in the state over 600 receiving yards. He's tied for third in the state with 7 touchdowns. He's got 128 yards per game with 20 yards per catch. He's got 2 multi-touchdown games this season. He had 15 catches for 237 yards, 3 touchdowns against Triton Central. He has 3 games of 100 plus yards, 2 games of 200 yards or more. I mean, we've talked about how potent this Lutheran offense is, and it felt right. It felt warranted to have not only the best quarterback in the state, but have his best receiver also on the list as well, because they're a big reason why Lutheran has, just kept it going after a fantastic state finals run last year. So I'm going Micah McKay. I mean, he's right smack dab in the middle of that great offense. He leads the team in receiving yards and touchdowns, as you can attest from the fact that he's one of the leaders in the state, as far as receiving goes. I mean, the guy has just been incredible, all year. For the Lutheran Saints. And so that's why I've got him on the list here. I mean, you can't have the top quarterback without his receiver. I mean, you see it across the NFL, right? I mean, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase both go from LSU to Cincinnati. You've got Tua and Jalen Waddle both go from Alabama to Miami. So I mean, you've got all these different combinations. You got to keep it 100 on the all 3C media team as well. Moving on to tight end. Tight end was very interesting. It was a very interesting discussion for me. Because as far as the tight ends go, it's tough. So receiving yard, it's very hard to find tight end receiving yards for, as far as like it was tough in the sense that there's not a lot of tight ends like in the top 50 receiving yards. And so it was kind of tough to kind of because then at that point, like we're splitting hairs on what we want to like value more, if that makes sense. So like there was Brandon Wooten out of Cathedral, really wanted to go with him, because he had like 5 touchdowns already this season. He's putting up some good numbers. There's a couple guys that I waffled between. I ended up going to 24/7 recruiting to kind of see who are the top tight end recruits, see how their stats were. I ultimately landed on Dylan Puent, Indiana School for the Deaf tight end, who has just been insane. I didn't write down his year, and he's top 15 in the state in receiving, which is pretty incredible. He is a junior. Okay, so I neglected to write that down, but he's been great all season. He's got 20 catches for 502 yards and 6 touchdowns. He's top 10 in the state in receiving yards. He's the only tight end in the top 10 in receiving yards. Like Terrell, he averages 25 plus yards per catch. He's one of 11 skilled players in the state with over 500 yards receiving. He already has 2 more catches, 200 more yards, and 3 more touchdowns than he had in his sophomore campaign. So already having a career year. Indiana Deaf is a top 40 offense in the state in points per game. They're 3-1 for the first time since 2019. They're shaping up to be a team to watch in sectional 45. I mean, this is an Indiana School for the Deaf team that, I've called them a couple of times. I think only once actually when I was with Indiana SRN. And I mean, they were okay. They weren't great. They weren't bad. They weren't, they're kind of middle of the road, and it's shaping up that they're, one of the better teams in 1A. So, they're really playing well. Their offense is great. I think their defense is playing well as well. So, I mean, that's going to be a tough team to watch. Or a tough team to play come tournament time. So, hats off. Dylan Puett is my tight end on my all 3C media all-star team through the first 5 games. And wrapping up the offensive line. So with offensive line, I mean, obviously it'd be easy to be like, oh, Ron Colley's offensive line. They've got Luke Hansen. Like, yep, that's good. You could say, okay, Gary, since you didn't give the top running back to Lamarion Nelson. Maybe you give the top offensive line to Fort Wayne Wayne's offense. Give the generals some love. And we could do that. Ultimately, though, I was like, I mean, you could also, I mean, we could go Lutheran since we have two offensive players from that offense already. But the thing with offensive line is that I think I had to go with a team that has not only got a good running back, they've got a good off. I had to go with one that had a good offense and one that's a team that overall is one of the top in the state. That's what I felt like had to be the criteria for best offensive line. And I mean that, I mean, honestly, you could go that way with Ron Colley, right? But I decided to show some love to the New Palestine Dragons. The run blocking has allowed Grayson Thomas to run for 728 yards and 12 touchdowns this season. He is 14th in the state in rushing. Their offense on the whole averages 45 points per game, which is good enough for 14th in the state. They're 5-0. They're the number one team in 4A. They're the number five team in the state, according to Max Preps. They are subject of the 3C Media Game of the Week, their game against Greenfield Central this coming Friday. So I had to go with a team, like I said, that's got a good running back, that has a good offense in general, and is also one of the top teams in the state. And so New Pal fit all of those. I know there's some other teams that fit all of those as well, but I wanted to show the Dragons some love because we honestly didn't have them. I mean, we talked about them in the high school football preview, but I don't think we had them being quite as good as they are. And they have turned out to be a very good ball club this season. So hats off to New Pal. So that does it for the offense. Recapping here, we've got Lutheran quarterback Jackson Willis. We've got Ron Colley running back Luke Hansen. We've got Calumet wide receiver Terrell Caldwell. We've got Lutheran wide receiver Micah McKay. We've got Indiana School for the Deaf tight end Dylan Pewent. Sorry if I'm butchering that name, by the way. And then New Pal is our offensive line. So that does it for our offense. We're going to switch gears to defense, but before we do, let's go ahead and talk about our friends of the show.
Are you tired of your same old lunch hour of sitting and scrolling through your apps on your smartphone? Have you thought about playing a board game with your coworkers? Eat Lunch and Board Game is a podcast dedicated to telling you about board games that are great for lunchtime fun and some that are probably better saved for after work hours. I've been playing games at my office for over 4 years now where I have made new friends and business connections that have been very useful. Board games build bridges.
We're also going to take a quick Gatorade break here. Going to take a swig. We've got the, I guess you could call this pea yellow Gatorade this week. Normally I've got red because red is superior. Although I was a grape Gatorade guy back in the day, back in the Pee Wee football days. So grape is good, red's good. Because I mean, why did I say grape? It's purple. The flavors are the colors, right? I mean, it's grape, it's red, it's not. Or sorry, it's purple, it's red, it's not grape and cherry. We know that already. So for the defense, for the all 3C media team, like I said, we're going defensive line, we're going linebacker, we're going corner, we're going safety. And defense was honestly tough. Because you have players that excel at one particular stat that I think is more important than maybe the other stats. But then there are other stats that are like supplementary to that one stat that I think is important, aren't the greatest at times. But I tried to do that. And I tried to, again, of course, incorporate our normal things like, how good is the team? How does this team stack up as far as the rest of the state? So, starting off at defensive line, I'm going with Carroll Fort Wayne, a Charger here, a senior, Royce Jones. He averages 5 tackles per game, but what sticks out to me are his 6 sacks on the year. He's 7th in the state. He had 3 sacks in the shutout win for the Chargers against Fort Wayne Northrop. Carroll Fort Wayne is 5-0 on the season, 7th in 6A, with a defense that is 17th in the state. And points allowed per game. They allow 9 points per contest. excuse me, they allowed 3 points or less in 3 of 5 games this season with 2 shutouts. So the defense on the whole is good. And a big reason why is the ability of Royce Jones to get after the quarterback. And that's why I went with, because I wanted to prioritize sacks. And I know that, like, okay, really only 5 tackles. I mean, I'm sure there's other defensive linemen that, like, are have better tackle numbers but don't have the sacks. But in my opinion, I don't know, maybe this is small brain of me to think this way, but I think that if you're evaluating a defensive lineman, I think sacks are a big part of that, are a big part of what makes a defensive lineman a defensive lineman. Again, like I said, I could just look at the tackle numbers and just read off, okay, who had the highest tackles as the defensive lineman? That's your pick for 3C Media. Oh, who had the highest tackles for linebacker? All right, that's where we're going. But I felt like sacks was more of like something you should focus on. And the fact that, you know, Carroll also has a good defense, also is one of the top teams at the state's highest level. That's why I think all those combined points to Royce Jones. So that's why I went in there. Like I said, I mean, you're left a little wanting on the tackle numbers, but his ability to get to the quarterback is really key here. So that's why I'm going Royce Jones here for the defensive lineman. At linebacker, we've got Calumet linebacker David Flores. He's a senior, 61 tackles, 23 solo. He's got 15 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks. So I did notice there was a lot of guys at the top of the sack list that were linebackers. Let me take a look at that linebacker list again here. Let me get that pulled up because I remember looking at the numbers for sacks here. When looking at the sack numbers, I mean, you had Evan Gerber for Culver Academy. He's got 10 sacks on the year. I thought about going with him. Culver's defense is not the greatest. You've got Tamir Woods from Cecina. He's got 8 sacks. You've got Indianapolis. So I could have gone him there. You've got Demetrius Davis. He's in a linebacker. Oh, that's why I didn't go with Tamir Woods, because he didn't have a position listed. So I didn't want to miscategorize him on the team. So Tamir Woods might have made the cut had it not been for not having a position. You've got Demetrius Davis. He's a linebacker. Eli Edwards, tight end, 7.5 sacks. You've got Julius Parker, 6.5 sacks. Nazir Wilson, also from Calumet, he had 6.5 sacks. So those are all defensive ends. A lot of the defensive end numbers come in now after now that everybody's kind of logged their stats, there's more numbers that have come in. But you had a lot of linebackers on this list. Let's see, of the top players in sacks, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the top 15 in sacks. So a third were linebackers, which I mean, I guess isn't surprising. But anyway, the fact that, David Flores at the linebacker position had the sack numbers as well as the tackles, that's what did it for me. I mean, he's ninth in the state in tackles. He averages 12 per game. He's tied for the state lead in tackles for loss. He's one of 2 defensive players with 50 plus tackles and 15 tackles for loss. So, I mean, he has been an absolute monster this year. He's a part of a Calumet. He's top 15 in the state in sacks. Or at least at the time of at the time of making the outline, I know some other teams have kind of logged their stats, which is kind of the tough thing about, you know, I don't mean to do this. I know every time we do a podcast about high school sports, we kind of, you know, complain about the lack of stats. I mean, I know ADs, everybody, you know, whoever SIDs, whoever that puts the stats in, assistant coaches, we love you. No ill will, no harm meant. It's just funny because you it's hard to get everything together, because then there's more information that comes out. Can't possibly keep up with every single, you know, inkling of every single team. So then, you know, you're like, oh, well, if I would have known that, a little bit ago, then we would have had more updated stats and would have had more, to go off of. But I don't think there was anything that could have made me not pick David Flores here. He's had quite the season. He's part of a Calumet defense, We've talked about how good their team is this year. I mean, they allow 10 points per game. They're 22nd in the state in that category. They have one shutout, three games allowing 8 points or fewer. So that defense is incredible. That team is incredible. David Flores has been incredible. You know, like I said, 61 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks. Dude has been a monster for the Warriors. I think they're the Warriors. Let me double check that, because now it's going to bug me if I don't actually know. But yeah, they have been insane. Yeah, Warriors. I knew. I should have trusted my gut. I should have trusted my gut on that one. All right, looking at cornerback. We mentioned this team a little bit earlier as far as being in our game of the week. And that is Greenfield Central corner Kirk Nett Jr. He's got 24 tackles on the season, 17 solo. He's got four interceptions and a fumble recovery. He's tied for second in the state in interceptions. He's ranked 15th in the state, or sorry, Greenfield Central is ranked 15th in the state in 4A in the AP poll, 10th in the state in 4A as far as a coach's poll. It's a part of a defense that has allowed 7 points or less in 3 of 5 games this season, including 2 shutouts. So, I mean, when you've got a corner who's got 4 interceptions and a fumble recovery, I mean, the dude has created turnovers. You know, he's accounted for a turnover a game, because he's got 5 turnovers on the season. So my guy is, you know, getting the ball back for his team at least once per game. That's pretty incredible. You know, top in the state, one of the top corners in the state in terms of interceptions, which again, it's kind of like sacks for defensive linemen, where, you know, you expect more defensive linemen to get sacks. So that's why that was a little bit more important to me than just straight tackles. Just like how in this instance, you know, we could go off pass deflections. We could go off of, you know, a million different stats, but interceptions, the ability to, you know, lock down receivers, you know, that was what I wanted to focus on for the cornerback position. And Kirk Nett has really, and again, sorry if I'm butchering that name, but he has been sensational. Like I said, I mean, he, you know, is tied for second in the state in interceptions. He's created turnovers. I mean, it's everything you would want Greenfield Central to do. And that's going to be interesting to watch. You know, you have New Palestine that's got a good offense and a good defense. You got Greenfield Central's got a great defense. Something's going to have to give when those two teams play. It's going to be a fun one. Yeah, at Kelso Stadium this coming Friday. So, Kirk Nett is my cornerback for the All3C Media team. And rounding out the defense at safety, I've got Elkhart safety Braden Cook. Elkhart this season has been insane. They boast the best defense in 6A in terms of points allowed per game, 9th in the state in that category as well. They allow a touchdown a game, basically 7 points per game. They're ranked in the top 15 overall in the state. Their defense has recorded 2 shutouts, allowed 7 points or less in 4 games this season. They allowed 21 points versus Penn, which is the most points versus the Lions defense than like any of the other games combined. So they had one bad game, or else that average would be even lower. Cook's numbers don't jump off the page super a ton. He's got 11 tackles and an interception on the season. He's 5th on the team in tackles. At the time of recording, they'd only logged 2 games on Max Prep, so I think his numbers are even better than that. His interception was a pick 6 this past weekend against Penn, and he's got 1 of 2 fumble recoveries on the best defensive team in the state. So that's what I kind of looked at more, is that the fact that Elkhart's the best defense. You kind of look at the safety as kind of the center fielder, the kind of guy that patrols the defense there, who is, you know, kind of the leader of the secondary. And so that's why I went with Braden Cook. He can play both safety positions, which is nice. He's, like I said, the numbers don't really jump off because only 2 games are logged on Max Preps, but I wanted to go with that kind of leader, that center fielder on the defense for a team that is the best defense in the state, so, or in 6A, which then you could argue is the best defense in the state because they're the best defense at the football's highest level in the state of Indiana. So going back through the defense here, We've got Royce Jones from Carroll at defensive line on our defensive line. We've got Calumet linebacker, David Flores. We've got Greenfield Central cornerback Kirk Nett, and then we have Elkhart safety Braden Cook. Rounding out the show here, we have our all 3C media special teams. Because, I mean, look, special teams, as we saw for the Colts in week one, is a vital part of the game. So we're going to give a kicker and a returner. My kicker, I'm going with Northwood kicker Dominic DeFreitas. Dominic DeFreitas, the sophomore, he has been, I mean, perfect. He's 29 for 29, 24 for 24 on PATs, 5 for 5 on field goals with a long of 48. He's a yard of having the longest in the state. So I, being someone who has broadcast a lot of 1A, a lot of 2A football at this, the lowest levels of the state, you very rarely catch a glimpse of good field goal kicking, because a lot of times teams go for two. A lot of times teams just have somebody who can do kickoffs and punts. They don't really have anybody that they want to line up for a field goal. Calling Traders Point, I was blessed with being able to see Gabe Sink, who was a very good field goal kicker, turned quarterback in the later years. So you don't see that at the lower levels. And I know Northwood isn't one of the lower levels, but it's someone who has only kind of seen that lower level of high school football, it's even more than impressive to me when you have a kicker that is not only perfect, but also has a long that could rival some longs at the college level. So, I mean, it's pretty awesome. Like I said, 48 is a yard off having the longest in the state. Heck, maybe he can push to 50 at some point by the end of the year. So, I'm going with Dominic DeFreitas. And then as my returner, I'm going with South Putnam wide receiver Wyatt Switzer. He's a sophomore. And I mean, why teams are kicking it to South Putnam in general is beyond me. His teammate Peyton Crickmore they both have been doing it this year in the return game. They've combined for 107, Crickmore has 171 yards and 2 kick returns for touchdowns for the season. But I went with Wyatt Switzer. He's top 40 in the state in terms of total return yards. So I wanted to factor that in. He's got four kick returns for 80 yards, 7 punt returns for 132 yards and a touchdown. He had a punt return for a touchdown opening night versus Cloverdale. So I could have gone with either of the two South Putnam return men, Switzer or Crickmore, but I went for the guy who had more yards. Because I mean, if you're going, you're return yardage isn't just about who can take it back for touchdowns. It's also about, you know, flipping that field and getting yourself better field position. So that's why I went with Switzer, who'd been just a little bit incrementally better at doing that. So special teams again, Northwood kicker Dominic DeFreitas and South Putnam wide receiver Wyatt Switzer as my return man. So that will do it for the all 3C media team through the first 5 games. Like I said before, I want to update this at the end of the regular season, as well as the sectionals as well. So that'll be a little tough because we'll do a sectional preview as well. So we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll do it after 8 games. We'll kind of see. But that will do it. Thank you guys again for watching, listening. Remember, you can like us on Facebook, 3C Media. Go to our Twitter. Follow us over there at 3C Media Sports. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're listening to this on the podcast apps. Go check us out on YouTube. Hit subscribe, ring the bell, watch our videos. You guys have been killing it as always, so make sure you show some love over there. And vice versa, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, but you're saying, hey, you know what? I missed out on some stuff, or I had to go, you know, I could only watch the first half. I got to drive somewhere. You can find us on the podcast apps as well. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts can be heard. You can hear the Crash Course podcast. Also, you can find us 3C Media on TikTok. So make sure you're locked in on all of our socials. You can find us pretty much everywhere. And you can follow me at Crash Course FM on Twitter. Just pretty much whatever app you want to go to, you can find me. You can find all the information for 3C Media. So, again, thank you guys all for hanging out. and I hope you guys have a fantastic week.